This is lecture 2.2 from the early lectures of Rudolf Steiner entitled The Christian Mystery, a collection. Lecture 2.2 is entitled The Mystery of Golgotha, given on December 2nd, 1906 in Cologne. The secret behind the mystery of Golgotha is one of the deepest of world evolution. In order to understand it, we must look back into past ages of Earth's evolution and illuminate the esoteric wisdom of the millennia. One cannot object to such as this deeper comprehension of the mystery of Golgotha by saying that any simple soul should be able to understand what Jesus Christ accomplished. That is indeed true. But to understand fully this greatest appearance on the earth, we must search the depths of mystery wisdom. From the depths of that wisdom, we will try to understand how something like the mystery of Golgotha could be possible. In doing so, we must bear in mind that with the appearance of Jesus Christ on earth, something happened that signifies a truly decisive turning point in human history. We can understand this best by asking ourselves, quote, who, in fact, was Jesus Christ? Unquote. This question falls into two parts for the esotericist. We must distinguish between the person who lived at that time in Palestine until 30 years of age, and what became of him after that. Jesus became Christ in the 30th year of his life. Generally, a human being has only small parts of the astral, etheric, and physical bodies transformed into manas, spirit self, buddhi, life spirit, and atman, spirit body. Jesus of Nazareth was a chela, disciple of the third degree. Consequently, his bodies were in a state of great purity. His astral, etheric, and physical bodies were completely cleansed, purified, and sanctified. When a chela has finished purifying the three bodies, at a certain point the ability arises to give up the I-being as a sacrifice. During his 30th year, the I-being of Jesus left the three bodies and entered the astral world, leaving behind the three consecrated bodies on earth. Those three bodies were hollowed out, so to speak, so that a space was created for a higher individual. Thus, in the 30th year of his life, the I of Jesus of Nazareth made the great sacrifice of offering up his purified bodies for the use of Christ. Christ filled these three bodies completely. After that event, we may speak of Jesus Christ, who walked on earth for 3 years and performed great deeds in the body of Jesus. To understand who the Christ was, we must go far back into the history of earthly human evolution. Before the earth became earth, it was old moon. It was not the same as the present-day moon, which is only a piece of broken earth. Before the earth was old moon, it was old sun, and before that, old Saturn. We must understand clearly that billions of years ago there was a body in outer space, old Saturn. A planet also develops through various incarnations. Before our earth became earth, it existed as Saturn, Sun, and Moon. Footnote for a more detailed description of the planetary phases, see, quote, Cosmic Evolution in the Human Being, unquote, Rudolf Steiner in the book An Outline of Esoteric Science, in fact, Chapter 4. End of footnote. Let us now picture ourselves on the old Sun. At that time, the so-called spirits of fire had the same status as human beings on Earth today. The spirits of fire on old Sun, however, did not look like present-day human beings. These sublime individuals went through their quote-unquote human stage in completely different circumstances than we are at today's stage of development. On Old Moon, there was also a multitude of beings going through their human stage of development. They then came to Earth as exalted beings, lunar pitris, or spirits of the moon, who have now attained a stage higher than ours. In Christian esoteric terms, they are called angels. It is only on earth that we have become human beings. The lunar pitris are the next level above us, and above them are the spirits of fire, at a very elevated stage of becoming. Next we consider the earth during the era of the Lemurian race, which lived on a continent between what is now Asia, Africa, and Australia. There were physical beings on earth at that time. They were superior to today's animals, but less developed than the human being. Those physical beings created a kind of receptacle, a dwelling place. they would have had to slide into a state of degeneracy if they had not been fructified by higher beings. Not until then did souls enter the human physical body. The souls themselves then prepared the physical body that the human being would have later on. Earlier, the human soul was a part of higher spiritual beings. On the earth were the physical receptacles of human bodies, into which higher beings from spiritual worlds above poured soul substance. This substance of soul was still connected to the spiritual world. It was as if drops of water were poured into a series of vessels. The beings who poured out this soul substance were the same beings who had completed their human development on the moon. They were the spirits of the moon, now standing on a higher level than human beings, and able to pour part of their being into humankind, so that humankind could develop further. Because of this, human beings became increasingly able to transform their own organisms. They could lift themselves from the earth, stand upright, walk, learn to speak, and become independent. There was a certain kind of kinship among all these souls because they originated from common spirits. All those having received a drop from a common being displayed a great similarity. In early times, members of a tribe had similar souls. Later, this was also true of the entire Egyptian people, for example, or the entire Jewish people. They had souls that had arisen from a common origin. The spirits of the moon had given human beings the spirit self. Through this, the human being became self-aware, an I-being. What the spirits of the moon were unable to give human beings could be given to them only by a single common, yet higher being, who had finished developing his humanity on the sun, a spirit of fire. Many such fire spirits had developed themselves on Old Sun and were sublime spirits on the earth. One such fire spirit was called on to pour the essence of his being over all of humanity. For the entire earth, there was one common spirit who could pour over all humankind and into all its members the element of the spirits of the sun, the fire spirits, which was Budi, or life spirit. But during the Lemurian and Atlantean times, human beings were not yet ripe to receive anything from this spirit of the sun. Extremely strange things can be seen in the Akashic record of that time, that human beings consisted of physical body, etheric body, astral body, and spirit self. Spirit self, however, was present in the human being only very weakly. Budi, life spirit, hovered, as it were, around every individual, yet this could be seen only in the astral world. Human beings all had such a Budi surrounding them in the astral world, but this Budi that surrounded them from the outside was not yet ripe for penetrating them. It was a part of the one great fire spirit who had poured drops of his being over humanity. But these drops simply could not yet permeate human beings. Through the deed of Christ on earth, a predisposition was created in human beings for them to take into their manas what we call Budi. What Christ accomplished on the earth was prepared through other great teachers who preceded him, Buddha, the last Zoroaster, Pythagoras, all of whom lived about 600 years before Christ. These were spirits who had already taken possession of what only hovered around everyone else. Moses also must be counted among those spirits. Other human beings, however, had not yet received these sparks in their human eye. What entered into the physical, etheric, and astral bodies of Jesus of Nazareth is this entire fire spirit, the common source of the fire of the spirit in all human beings. This is the Christ, the only divine being, who is not present on earth in this way in any other form. He entered Jesus of Nazareth so that those who felt united with Christ could receive the power to take Budi into themselves. The possibility of receiving Budi begins with the appearance of Jesus Christ on earth. John called this the divine word of creation. The divine word of creation is this fire spirit, who poured his fire into human beings. Christ could thus bring about something the spirits of the moon could not. Through their work, the moon spirits could create common tribes among people. But Christ, as a single spirit for the whole earth, could unite all the people on the whole earth into an all-encompassing family. The differences between people on earth came about because the various spirits of the moon poured poured drops of their being on earth. But human unity was brought about because Christ poured forth his being. What connects people came to the earth through Jesus Christ. When Christ speaks of the last judgment, he prophesies, quote, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory," meaning when the drops of Christ's being have all flowed into human beings and all humankind have become brothers and sisters, "he will say to those at his right hand, quote, 'Come, you who have been blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink.'" Unquote. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, and then verses 34 and 35. Then, other than the difference between good and evil, there will be no differences between people. And Christ says to his disciples, quote, "What have you done to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done to me?" Unquote, Matthew 25:40. Christ is pointing to a time when the drops of his being were taken up by people, so that when one person stands apart from another, that one will know that the same substance exists in both of them. The fact that Buddhi could even be awakened in human beings is a consequence of the power that arose from the life of Christ on earth. This is how we should understand Christ as the common spirit of the earth. If we could look down upon the earth throughout the long millennia, we would find a point when Christ worked on the earth so that all of earth's astral matter was penetrated by Christ. Christ is the spirit of the earth, and the earth is his body. All that lives, sprouts, and grows on the earth, that is Christ. He is in all the seeds, all the trees, and in everything that grows and sprouts. Consequently, Christ had to hold up the bread and say, quote, "This is my body," unquote. And concerning the juice of the grapes, fermented wine was not part of the Last Supper. He had to say, quote, "This is my blood." Thus humanity necessarily appeared to him as beings walking around on his body. Therefore he also said to his disciples after the washing of the feet, quote, "Those who eat my bread tread on me with their feet," unquote, John 13:18. These words may be taken literally, because the earth is Christ's body. Precisely because he made himself the bearer of earth evolution, a distant spirit would be able to see how his spirit flows increasingly into human beings, how the substance of Jesus Christ enters every individual human being. At the end, such a distant spirit would see the entire earth transformed and bearing human beings who have been christened become divine beings through Christ. Only what has not participated in this process of becoming divine will be set aside as evil. This evil must wait for a later time to be developed to the good. All the various ethnic groups who lived before Christ appeared on earth. Let me read that again. All the various ethnic groups who lived before Christ appeared on earth. Let me read that one more time. All the various ethnic groups who lived before Christ appeared on earth had mystery religions. What would happen in the future was portrayed in the mysteries. Students were given the capacity, through extensive exercises, to experience the burial in the earth. The Hierophant could then place students in a higher state of consciousness, a kind of deep sleep. In ancient times, human consciousness had to be suppressed before the divine could appear in the human being. The soul was led through the regions of the spiritual world, and then the individual was re-enlivened by the Hierophant after 3 days. The person then had the experience of becoming a new human being and receiving a new name. Such a person was called a, quote-unquote, son of God. In the mystery of Golgotha, this entire process took place in 3 days, outside, so to speak, on the physical plane of existence. Before Golgotha, pupils being initiated were enlivened by a spark from the spiritual fire of Christ, and they were told that one day someone would come who would make it possible for all human beings to be christened. Someone would become the Word in flesh. Only students who had gone through the Kingdom of Heaven journey could have this 3-day experience. But someone would come who always resides in the Kingdom of Heaven. He would bring the Kingdom of Heaven with him into the physical world. Christ portrayed on the physical plane what initiates had experienced on the astral plane, that from the beginning there had been a divine Word who had poured out drops of his substance into humankind, and that the human eye beings could not receive him. John, the announcer of the christened eye being, who had received Christ, tells us this. The word of John also means this. He speaks of the Word, who was on the earth from the beginning. Long quote now, John 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a divine being. He was with God in the very beginning. All things came into being through him, and nothing of all that has come into being was made except through him. In him was the life, and the life was the light of human beings, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not accepted it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness, to witness to the light, and so awaken faith in all hearts. He himself was not the light, but was to be a witness to the light. The true light that enlightens all human beings was to come into the world. It was in the world, for the world came into being through it, yet the world did not recognize it. It came into those of individual spirit, it came to the I human beings, but those very individuals, the I human beings, did not accept it. But to those who did accept it, it gave the free power to become the children of God. They are the ones who trustingly take its power into themselves. They receive their life not out of blood, nor out of the will of the flesh, for they are born of God. And the Word became flesh, and lived among us, and we have beheld his revelation, the revelation of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. End quote. The word grace in verse 14 means for John, buddhi. Truth means the same as manas, or wisdom, the spirit self. Continuing quote, this is John 1:15 through 18. John bears witness to him and proclaims loudly, "This was he of whom I said, after me comes he who was before me, for he is greater than I. Of his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth have come into being through Jesus Christ. No human being has ever seen the divine ground of the world with eyes. The only Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he has become the guide in such seeing." End quote. Initiation into the mysteries of the Spirit pointed to this appearance of Jesus Christ. This initiation was present in the yogic, orphic, and hermetic sleep states. When those initiates awoke again in their bodies, and when they could hear again with their physical senses and speak, their words meant, quote, my God, how you have elevated me. Or in Hebrew, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani, footnote. Sabachthani, which is found in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, and in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, usually translated as forsaken, is similar in sound to shevachthani, which means elevated or glorified. Steiner also discussed this passage in the Gospel of St. Matthew, The Return of the Andrew Harvey, in his book The Return of the Mother, quote, a German scholar of Aramaic, told me about recent research that Jesus may have been punning on the cross. Let me share with you the full brilliance of the pun. Just before he dies, Jesus cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated in the Authorized Version as, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Apparently, the meaning of the Aramaic word sabachthani, forsaken, might also be interpreted as glorified. My Lord, why hast thou glorified me? End of footnote. That was initiation, as it took place in ancient Judaism. During their three-day sojourn in higher worlds, the initiates experienced the entire future course of human evolution, which awaits them in the development of humanity. During the three-day vision, the future stages of humanity's evolution were not usually portrayed in an abstract fashion, but rather each step was represented by an individual personality. These personalities portrayed the 12 steps of the development of the human soul. The soul forces were seen as external personalities. At a certain point in time, the initiates saw a specific scene unfolding. They saw their own individualities transfigured up to the stage when all of humanity is filled with buddhi, when it will be christened. They saw God as themselves, and the soul forces standing behind. Directly behind them stood John, who, as the last figure, announced his perfection. They saw themselves transfigured, in a condition they will achieve when they are perfected. They saw their soul forces personified, with the last stage of perfection in the person of John, who announces the stage of Christ. Then in yogic sleep the 12 figures were together, for what was called the mystical community meal. When human beings sit there, surrounded by their soul forces, they may say, quote, "These are one with me. They have led me through earth evolution. I have advanced with the feet of these apostles," unquote. The meal expresses the human community with its 12 forces of the soul. The perfecting of human beings consists of this. The lower forces fall away from them, and only the higher forces remain. In the future, the human being will no longer have the lower forces, such as those connected with reproduction. In particular, John's soul forces will have brought it about that these reproductive forces are then lifted into the loving heart, which will send out streams of spiritual love. The heart is the most powerful organ within those in whom the Christ lives. The lower soul force is then raised from the lap to the heart. Every initiate experienced this as the mystery of the heart, expressed in the words, quote, my God, how you have elevated me, unquote. When Christ appeared, this whole experience, this entire mystery, was realized on the physical level. At that time in Palestine, there were brotherhoods created from the old Essene order. They held a community meal as a symbol of the mystical Lord's Supper. The phrase, quote, enjoy the Easter lamb, unquote, is a general expression for what happened at Easter. Jesus went with his disciples to the table and began the supper by saying, quote, at the end of earth's development, all human beings will have taken up what I brought to earth. Then it will be true that this is my body, this is my blood, unquote. Then he said, one of you will betray me, John 13:21. The betrayer is egoism, the lower desires. Quote, the disciple whom the Lord loved, unquote, knew this, for he was lying in his lap. As long as this force is located there, it kills. Sexual reproduction and death are reciprocally determined. This power to create, located in the sexual realm, ascends higher into the body, into the heart. The disciple indicates this in the gospel through his elevation to the heart. Just as it is certain that it is the lower desires that betray, so it is certain that the lower soul force is lifted up. Quote, there was one of the disciples who was lying in his lap. This one laid himself on the breast of Jesus. Unquote, John 13:28. Footnote, Steiner's translation is from John 13:23 and 25. In verse 23, the Greek word kolpon, meaning lap, and usually translated as breast or bosom. Here, in verse 25, the Greek word stephos is correctly translated as bosom or breast. End footnote. John 13:25 begins, quote, then he who was lying so close to the breast of Jesus, unquote, meaning that all the lower forces or egoism are transformed and lifted to the heart. Jesus then said again to his disciples, quote, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, unquote. Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. What happened in the ancient mysteries was the same as what happened on Golgotha. The disciple whom the Lord loved, the one who had lain in his lap and was raised to his breast at the Last Supper, stood under the cross on Golgotha. Also standing near the cross are the feminine figures, his mother's sister Mary, and Mary Magdalene. John's Gospel does not say that Jesus' mother was called Mary, but rather that his mother's sister was named Mary. His mother was called Sophia. John baptized Jesus in the Jordan. A dove descended from heaven, and in that moment a spiritual fertilization occurred. The mother of Jesus, who is fertilized here, who is she? The Chela, Jesus of Nazareth, takes his eye-being away in this moment, and the highly developed manas is fertilized, and Buddhi enters. The highly developed manas that receives Buddhi is wisdom, Sophia, the mother fertilized by Jesus' father. The name Mary, like Maya, indicates in general the name of his mother. We read in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, quote, an angel came to her and spoke, hail, O favored one, behold, you will conceive and bear a son. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Unquote. The Holy Spirit is the Father of Jesus. The dove that flies down fructifies Sophia, who is found in Jesus. Therefore the text should be read, quote, standing by the cross was Sophia, the mother of Jesus. Unquote. He says to this mother, quote, woman, behold, that is your son. Unquote. He himself passed Sophia, who had been in him, to John. He made John into the son of Sophia and said, quote, that is your mother, unquote, indicating, quote, divine wisdom you must henceforth recognize as your mother and dedicate yourself to her alone, unquote. What John then wrote was this divine wisdom, Sophia, who is incarnated in John's gospel itself. He himself received this wisdom from Jesus and was authorized by Christ to bring this wisdom to the earth. The greatest spirit of the earth had to be incarnated in a body. This body had to die, to be killed, blood had to flow. This had special meaning. Where blood is, the self is. If all the ancient communities of self are to come to an end, then the selfhood that lives in the blood must one day be sacrificed. All egoism of the individual flows away with the blood of Christ on the cross. The blood of tribal communities becomes the common blood of humankind through the fact that the blood of Christ was sacrificed at that moment on the cross. Something happened at that moment which an observer would have seen in the astral atmosphere. The entire astral atmosphere of the earth changed in the moment when Christ died, and in this way events became possible that had never before been possible. The sudden initiation of Paul, for example, would never have been possible earlier. It became possible because the flowing of Christ's blood brought all of humanity to a common self. The self flowed at that time out of the blood of Jesus' wounds. Only the three bodies, astral, etheric, physical, remained hanging on the cross and were later re-enlivened by the resurrected one. At the moment when Christ left the body, the three bodies were themselves strong enough to speak the words that were spoken by someone who had been transformed through initiation, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. These words would have shown everyone who knew anything about mystery wisdom that the event was concerned with a mystery in the sense of a mystery religion. With a small change in the text, the words arose, Eli, Eli, lama azabthani, which means, my God, why have you left me? That's the end of lecture 2.2.